Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Oh my goodness. Think about that. Out of the heart flow all these things. Everybody say like Marilyn Hickey, yuck. Yeah, that's a double yuck, isn't it? All those things that come out of our hearts. And in verse 20, these are the things which defile a man. These are the things which defile a man. And I want to talk this morning for a few minutes about loving the Lord your God with all of your heart. Do you love Jesus with all your heart this morning? You know, that's what He's asked us to do. And He said, I want you to love God with all your heart. And I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, I believe that our hearts have to become pure. And if adultery is in there, go back to Matthew 15. Don't want to make it personal. But if adultery's in there, how can we love God with all of our heart? If adultery's in our heart, because out of our heart proceeds all these evil things, right? Well, what if there's these evil thoughts that come? If it's in our heart, then we can't love God with all of our heart. So that's why Jesus said, you know, you come and honor me with your lips, but your heart is what? Far from me. So we want to make sure that our hearts are totally and completely surrendered to Jesus. That's why we tell people, why don't you give your heart to God this morning? Why don't you give your heart to Jesus? That's what we're talking about. We're saying give your entirety of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've got to warn you, there are things in this world today that want your heart. They want to take up residency in your heart. But you need to put a sign up there that says no vacancy. And no double occupancy. I don't want to serve God. I don't want to sort of be intimate with God and then be intimate with the things of the world at the same time. That's why this conference was so important. We've got to teach our children that there are entities that are vying for their heart. Movies, television, internet, right? All of these things. All of these things. The peers, their friends. They've got to choose carefully their friends. Because these are conduits, venues that will try to steal away our children's heart. Jesus wants your life. Satan wants to defile your heart, though. Because he knows that if he can defile our heart, then we can't give it to God. We can't give it 100% to God. Because in our heart, there is sin or there is evil. So his goal is going to be to what? Pollute our heart. Pollute our heart. And I've been really working on that this week. I said, Lord, I don't want my heart polluted. You know how you can pollute your heart? Even a negative thought about another person. That's like a dirty spot on a shirt, you know. This morning, you know, my wife was just beautifully helping me get dressed. And I got my outfit on and she said, no, I don't think you better wear that. And she said, it doesn't look very good. And I said, okay, well, what should I wear? And I gave her this shirt. And so she ironed. I said, can you iron this? She goes, sure, no problem. So she was ironing it. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. As I was ironing it, it hit something in the room there, and I got a spot on it. I said, a spot on my brand new, you know, clean shirt? You got a spot on it? She goes, I'll wash it. And she got it out. But you know, a spot can ruin an outfit. How many have ever had that experience? That's what ties are for, you know. How many guys know that's what a tie is for? To catch the slop when you miss the mouth. Yeah, does anybody here have a tie with at least one spot on it? Let me see your hand. Yeah, all right. It's doing its job. It's like a grown-up bib. But one spot will ruin your outfit. And the enemy knows that if he can put a spot on your heart, it'll ruin your walk with Jesus. There's an illustration that I've used often about the pole vaulter. And he was challenged at the height of the pole. He had never jumped this high before and kept going back to his coach and asking the coach for tips. How can I make this leap? I've never gone this high before. Expecting to hear the coach tell him about his technique, about the speed of his run. Coach said, no, here's what I want you to do today. I want you to take your heart and I want you to throw it over the bar and your body will fall. I want to say this to us, ladies and gentlemen, that if we'll give our hearts entirely to Jesus Christ, if we'll give our hearts to the purposes of God, our life will follow for righteousness. It's all about the heart. And this morning we need to look at our hearts. Look at Psalm 66 and verse 18. Because whatever pollutes your heart will block your access to heaven. Now let me say this again another way. The enemy knows that your prayers are powerful because your words are eternal. My words are eternal. And when we speak the word, we are powerful on the earth. So here's the enemy. He knows that Mark 11, 23 and 24 is in the Bible also. That whatever you say. So here's what he does. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So he says, here's what I've got to do. I've got to put a spot on their new shirt. I've got to somehow pollute their heart so God will not hear. How many know the Bible is true? Now don't reason in your mind and go, oh, come on now, God will hear. The only prayer God hears from a sinner is the prayer of repentance. I know that's tough because we all think that God will overlook our sin. He can't do that according to the word. He cannot do that. He can't back off his word. You say, well, give me another scripture because I don't think that's enough. Isaiah 59, verses 1 to 3. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have done what? Hidden his face from you, so that he what? Will not hear. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has muttered perversity. In other words, he's saying what Jesus said. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. And there's a spot on the heart. There is sin on the heart. So God cannot hear the prayers of the person whose heart has been defiled. Now, if you were Satan, what would you go after? I would try to set up a situation that even when you thought you were doing right. Now this was innocent this morning. My wife didn't try to put a spot on this shirt. And don't look close because we washed it out as best we could. I'm not going to tell you exactly where it's at. So don't look. But it was a flower that we were throwing away. And it was next to the door to go out to the garbage. An innocent flower that had what do you call it, the center part of the flower, the pollen. It was pollen from a flower that put a spot on my... Who would have thought a flower would have put a spot on my shirt? And that's what some of us think after we've been defiled. Who would have thought a little pornography would have put a spot on my shirt? Who would have thought a little exaggerating the truth? Oh, come on, it's just a flower. But how many know once the spot is there? Time for some spot remover. Time you gotta shout it out. I want you to go to Zechariah chapter 3. I want to look at verses 1 to 4 this morning in just the next couple of minutes, folks. I'm not going to keep you long. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Stop that verse right there if you go back to verse 1. Watch this. Then he showed me. I think it ought to be all of our prayers. Lord, show me about me. There's a lot of us that don't really want to see the truth. There's a lot of us that are living a false life. Presumptuous. We're living as though everything is all right. But But here, Zechariah said, then the Lord showed me. And let's pull back the curtain on what the Lord showed him. He said that, I saw Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, I don't want to give you a history lesson here, but Joshua is the first high priest after the captivity of Babylon to administer unto the Lord back in Jerusalem. His father was a high priest in Babylon. His grandfather was a high priest in Babylon. He was the first renewed high priest in Jerusalem. He just came out of Babylon, and this is what he looked like. Satan was standing at his right hand to do what? Open book test. To what?
Oppose him.
Do you think for 1 minute there is an entity that's trying to oppose you? Be on the alert. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Your adversary is doing what? Prowling around like a roaring lion. Lions roar when they're hungry, when they have a prey in sight. Do you think this morning that there is an enemy that's trying to oppose you? Of course there is. Just came out of Babylon, just came into the kingdom of God. And now Joshua, the high priest who should be ministering to the Lord, who is that who is appearing before the Lord, has something wrong. He has Satan opposing him. But look at this in verse 2. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who's chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? In other words, wait a minute, Satan. You stop opposing this priest, because I want you to know something. He was saved out of Babylon. He was saved out of the pits of hell. And that's what God speaks over you and me. He comes to the devil and he said, no, I rebuke you, Satan. I saved this one by my grace. I saved this one through my blood. And you will not oppose him. Aren't you glad this morning that even though there is opposition, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? That's a good place to give Jesus a hand clap. Come on, church. Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah. Look at next verse. Verse 3 in Zechariah. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Joshua was not dressed to meet the king. Now I want you to know something. Joshua had his priestly garment on. He was in church. He was preparing to get into the presence of the Lord. But what happened? He had filthy garments on. He had a pollen spot on his collar. There, I told you where it's at. And it affected the entirety of the appearance. And in verse 4, the next scripture, and he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Hallelujah. In other words, there's another shirt in the closet. God has something else for you to change into. You don't have to sit there in that filthy garment. You know what it's like with 11 and 12-year-old boys. Take a bath. You know, I don't know what it is about 11 and 12-year-old boys. They just don't want, they're afraid of the water, I think. I don't know what it is. I mean, I've seen that age so fight a shower that they'll go in the shower, get wet, don't soap down, come out of the shower, dripping wet, and say, did you take a shower? Yes, Mom, I took a shower. Did you wash your body? No. Get back in the shower. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, Jesus. Did you put deodorant on this morning, son? Yeah, come here. No, you did not. Did you brush your teeth? I mean, you feel like you're out there at a horse auction and you're pulling up their jaws and looking at their teeth and your teeth are yellow. You understand this is the way young boys are until their affections change. Until they recognize the opposite sex. And then it's like, are you still in there, Mom? I'll be out in a minute. Ooh, I'm looking good today, baby. Ooh. It's amazing how we will live until we fall in love and our affections are aroused for Jesus. Some of us in here need a shower. Some of us in here need to put some deodorant on. You nasty. It's the spot of sin I'm talking about now. But you know what changes a young boy? I mean, I can remember when I first... I grew up 12 years and never even know there were girls. I played with Faithy every day. She was the girl next door, and we played kickball, and she was just a person. She wasn't a girl. Until something happened about 12, 12 and a half, and it was like, Faithy, what's going on? Woo! All of a sudden, man, Faithy wasn't just another kickball player. It was Faithy. I'm going over to Faithy's house, Mom. Church is just church. It's just another thing to do until Jesus becomes your affection. Woo! When he becomes your affection, it's like, va, va, boom, baby, I want to see Jesus. And you'll clean up your act. Because until he becomes that in your life, you will learn to live with your B.O. I know that's pretty straightforward, but we learn to live with the spots, the wrinkles. You ever see somebody that didn't iron their shirt? You're wondering, did you look in the mirror before you left the church? I mean, you're a grown man. Did you just look? But you know what? They don't see it. And some of us have learned to live with the filthy garment. We don't even see it. But my goal this morning is in this message that the Holy Spirit, because I can't tell you. I mean, I could preach clothesline up here. Don't wear this. Don't do that. Don't come here. Don't go there. Don't commit this sin. Stop this. Stop that. But it'd be like your mother saying, take a shower, brush your teeth, put deodorant on. You're going, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And you'll fake me out. Just like we as young men faked our mothers out. You brush your teeth? Yep. Deodorant on? Yep. Check, 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 check. I'm going to guarantee you, until I saw Faithy the way God made her, I didn't care what I look like, smell like. I mean, it didn't matter to me. Something changed inside when I saw her as a girl. I became more self-conscious. Because I didn't want to make an appearance that will be an embarrassment. I didn't want to fracture the relationship. I didn't want her to think poorly of me. How have we become so comfortable coming into the presence of the King with filthy garments on? Notice where Satan was standing on the right hand. Now that's really important because that's the place of your and my authority. He stands there to oppose us in the place where we ought to be dictating. And now because he's there, we can't dictate. We can't say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and whatsoever we say, whatever we say, when we pray, stand without doubting. We can't do that Mark 11:23-4 thing. Because he's at the place of opposition in our authority. That's why the prayers of the saints are powerless. And this world is so seductive. So subtly seductive. You know, it's sort of like, come play with me. I won't hurt you. It's okay. Nobody will see it. It's on the inside of the collar. And we think, like this story in Zechariah chapter 3, that it has no consequence. But Isaiah 64 and 6 says this, our righteousness becomes like a filthy garment. Our righteousness becomes like a filthy garment. You know, I really believe that to live a consecrated life takes divine intervention. We can't do it ourselves. I tried to be good enough. I can't do it. Mom did her best to get me to shower. I got wet. That's all I did. I lied. Yep, put it on. Yep, yep. Brush my teeth. Yep, yep. Did your homework. Sure. Yep, yep, Mom. Lied. Externally, I couldn't do it until something clicked on the inside. And faithy became faithy. Some of you, you're still playing kickball with Jesus. And he hasn't become Jesus. Because when he becomes your all and all, your everything, the lover of your soul, nobody's going to have to tell you to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Nobody's going to have to tell you, stop that sin and stop quit talking like a... I have to tell you that. On the inside, you just get ready to meet your King every time you get out of the bed. Your eyes wake up, you say, oh, lover of my soul. Woo, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That'll frustrate a mother, and it frustrates a preacher. And it frustrates the kids. How many of you remember at that age that you wanted to hear your mom ask you, did you take a shower? You know, what do you think? Yeah! It's animosity's rage. I'm not going to this church. All you do is tell me how to live, how to live, how to live, how to live. Now, I can't tell you how to live. My prayer is to stop telling you how to live. My prayer is, I hope you meet faithy. I hope you get turned on by Jesus. And it'll turn your life around. Amen? Luke 22, verses 31 to 34, you know, Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, Peter, I've prayed for you because Satan's asked for you. He wants to sift you like wheat. But don't be discouraged. I've interceded for you. I prayed for you. And then when you return, strengthen your brethren as well. Church, the power of the local church is in intercession out of a consumed love for Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. That's what causes you to come to intercessory prayer on Saturday. That's what causes you to come to the children's conference with your kids. That's what causes you to come prior to the service, is this all-consuming fire. I couldn't eat fast enough to get down to the corner to play kickball. Homework. Dishes. Bye, Mom. Be back at dark. See ya. And when I showed up, I was like, hey, I'm here. How you doing? Great. Can I be on your team? There was something inside that was driving me. Y'all looking at me funny. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And it's no different with Jesus. It's no different with Jesus. We've got to turn this thing around in the kingdom by fanning the fire of our flames for Jesus. I think to consecrate the church, we have to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Because Luke 17 and 21 says, "The kingdom of God is within you." It's within us, church. The kingdom of God is within us. And in Romans 14 and 17, it said, "The kingdom of God is not meat or drink." In other words, it's not natural things, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There is a life that you and I can live in Jesus that it drives us for holiness. It drives us to be one alike, be like Him. It pushes us to the point that we cannot take 1 second out of His presence. Do you know Him like that? Have you met Jesus like that? Or are you content to drift? Are you content to be in and out? Are you content to go without the shower of His Word? Are you content to go ahead and go without the perfuming of your intercession and prayers to Him and the thanksgiving? Are you content? You see, there has to be a change in the body of Christ if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. If you and I are going to meet the needs of this nation, there has to be a change. There has to be an internal change, not an external change. We've tried it, haven't we? We've whipped it up. Whip it up, whip it up, whip it up, whip it up. Get the emotions going, whip it up. Play it, play it, play it. Boom, 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 boom. Whip it up, whip it up. But when the music stops, you still have body odor. Nothing's changed. Church is the same. Offerings are down. Nobody's getting saved. They do get saved. We can't find anybody to follow them up. Come on. Oh, Pastor, you're being so negative. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to introduce us to a new way of living for Jesus. Let's live a different way for Jesus. An internal motivation that says, "I can't have enough of Him. I've got to have more of Him." You see, intimacy of the Holy Spirit is what brings a clean heart. That's what Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 4 says. See, your ally and my ally is the fanning of the fire of Jesus Christ. John said it this way, "There's one that's coming after me who I'm not even worthy to untie his shoestring. He shall baptize you." Well, I did it in water. "But He will baptize you in the fire of the Holy Spirit." You know what fire does? It burns away the dross. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need the fire of God's presence in our life. That means I have to stay there, folks. I have to stay there. And the only way I stay there is when I don't allow filthy garments. Because it negates my priestly duty. This is a great story in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Because it tells us that these filthy garments will keep us, and this is a great statement, you should probably write this down, at the foothills of faith. Filthy garments keep you at the foothills of faith. And gains no access to the mountaintop. What does that mean? You remember Moses? Moses went where? To the mountain to meet with God. Remember they came out of Egypt and Israel was together. Where was Israel? At the foothills. Why was Israel at the foothills? Because of their garments. Moses went up to the presence of the Lord. What happened at the foothills of faith? They produced an idol. And not only did they make an idol, they began worshiping the idol. All of their energies, all their exuberance, all of their thoughts, everything was around this idol. If you and I stay in filthy garments, you'll only live in the foothills of faith and you'll never see His glory. Your decision, my decision, it's every one of us in this room. It's really our choice. And our lives are faced with it every minute. Every minute. Make a covenant with your eyes, guys. to not behold any evil thing. And there's not a man in here that's not made to be attracted to women's bodies. So if they're being shown, turn your eyes. You say, why? I'm just looking. Just checking out the merchandise. You got a spot on your collar and you don't even know it. Why is this important? Because God doesn't hear our what? After all, I mean, what good's prayer anyway? I don't see anything happening. Nothing's changing. Maybe it's not changing because God's not hearing us. Maybe He's not hearing us because we've hit the pollen on the flower. Unknowingly, Satan set a trap. Maybe we ought to begin praying, God, give me discernment. Lord, give me understanding of my day. Help me to see things that are putting spots and wrinkles. Spots and wrinkles. What a novel idea. I think that's in the Bible. God said that before He comes, He has to remove them. Did He? I think He did. Is that in the Bible? I think it is. I'm just being silly. Of course it is. He says, coming for a bride without what? Spot or wrinkle. So I said, Lord, you know, I can't live this way on my own. He goes, I know. Lord, I've tried and I can't do it. I know. That's why I'm going to rebuke the devil for you. Did you know 2,000 years ago, Jesus rebuked the devil? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest that He might destroy the works of the evil one. Thank you, Lord, that they are destroyed this morning. You know, I believe that prayer out of a repentant heart will lift you. And will transform you. One of the things that T and I have been talking about, she's been exhorting me. She said, you know, one of the things that I think you need to do and I need to do is we need to be very thankful for everything. All the time. And just say thank you even when we don't feel like it. Because it gets your mind off of what you're trying to point at. So we've been trying to work on that. And it's lifting me. To be thankful. You and I should be very thankful that you don't live in one of those mud huts. Oh, they're not all that bad, Pastor. I guess if that's all I ever knew, I mean, it'd be like, I didn't know anything else, so what's the difference? No, you don't want to live there. Matter of fact, most of you don't even want to go there. Right? How many like to spend 10 days in a mud hut? Not me. When I go there, we look for hotels. Roaches or not, we don't care. I'll sleep with the roaches, but I'm in a bed. And I need more than a hole in the ground for a toilet. Excuse me, I just have to have something that's more inviting. You say, well, I ain't got much to be thankful for, Pastor. You don't know what I'm going through. Shut up. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Please be quiet. We've got so much to be thankful for. Matter of fact, let's give Jesus 15 seconds of thanksgiving. Come on, lift your hands up. Thank Him for your love. Thank Him for your home, your car, your family. You got clothes on today, water to drink. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You for all the blessing in our life, God. Thank You for the children of hope. Thank You for Stephen and Tiffany. Thank You for every one of these little children that You brought to us today. Thank You for our family, our children, our health, Lord. We want to thank You. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and they were thankful. It'll lift you. Prayer like that will lift you into another realm. But I'm going to close with this thought in Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. Just focus on me for a couple more minutes, please. It says this, catch us the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The foxes like the tender grapes. And he said, catch us the foxes. In other words, you know, some of us don't even know where our stuff's going. All we know is we can't keep it in our pocket. That's a good place to say amen, preacher. No, you missed the preacher part. Amen, preacher. There you go. I like that. Try that one more time. That was good. Amen, preacher. Woo, that's good. We can make a movie. The foxes in the vineyard would destroy the tender grapes. Those are the sweetest. And they understood that if I didn't catch the fox, I would continue to lose the fruit. My question is, what's running loose in your life that's stealing the fruit? Second Timothy 2:19 says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I got on the internet last night and I wanted to see whether or not we could go to Florida and get out of the cold weather that's coming. Ooh, it was cold this morning. See that white stuff on the ground? Ew. And I noticed what it said in order to check the flight. It said, depart, arrive. So I put the date in, depart, tomorrow morning. Yes, I did. And it said, arrive. And I said, Wednesday. But you know, until I put in arrive, depart wouldn't work. I'm thinking. And I didn't realize I put in two departs. Until I started reading it, I went, how come this won't work? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, tell the church, you can't depart from iniquity until you arrive in righteousness. So try as you may. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to sin anymore. You're not getting off the ground. Because if we could do it that way, who needs Jesus? Depart from iniquity. Arrive to righteousness. But it's through Jesus Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, pure and holy and blameless. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I like the final part of the scripture because it says that the angel took a mitre, a turban, and put it on the head of Joshua. It's interesting that that kind of summarizes the old story. Put on a new robe, rebuked the devil, then he put on a turban. The priest would wear this turban, and guess what was inscribed on the front of it? Do you have any idea? It says, holiness unto the Lord. That's what it said. Crown my head, Lord. Crown my thinking, my thoughts, with holiness unto the Lord. I choose not to look at that. I choose not to say that. I choose not to go there. Someone asked me the other day, they said, Pastor, do you think it's acceptable for my wife and I to spend our vacation in Sin City? Because you know, what happens in Vegas stays there. And I said, well, you can do that, but you'll have to leave your turban at home. Oh, it's Sunday? Honey, you seen my turban? Oh, here it is. Good morning, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How are you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Weren't those children powerful this morning? Amen. We get home, you know, shoes off. First thing I like to do is shoes off. Turban in the closet. Come on, you know that's good. we don't laugh, we'll all cry. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask this question this morning. Do you even know that Jesus is in this room right now? Or we have become used to building church around church. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, you know what? I want to come face to face with Jesus Christ. I want to become a believer this morning. I'm tired of living for the world. You know, last Sunday, 25 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. 25. But that was last week. Some of you were here and you didn't make that choice, but guess what? You can make it today. No one looking around, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to wear the turban 24/7. Pray for me. In Jesus' name. They'll be looking around, you say, Pastor, could you include me in that prayer? That's you. Just lift your hand up right now, all over this room. Just lift your hand up. Say, include me in that prayer. Include me in that prayer. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Come on, let's all stand up. I want to close this service this morning with an opportunity for you to get prayer. The altar ministers, elders are coming. But I want to close it in worship. You guys have a song of worship that you could sing? That looks good on a backdrop like that. Yeah, I want to see you kind of do the thing, okay? Which one are you playing the drums? Okay. Go ahead. How many are ready to rise up to a new level with Jesus? I am. I am. As we worship, you need prayer, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. Come on. Come on, get prayer. God's here right now. Let's lift our hands and worship. Go ahead and sing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.